Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Friday in Phoenix. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome in to the Burns and Gambo show on this busy Friday with no Dave Burns, who has literally burned through about 8 weeks of vacation already. So my good buddy, so glad to have this guy in the house with me, one of my favorites, Tim Ring.
Gambo, what is up?
Long-time TV stud, and now he gets to do some radio with me, so I'm excited. Listen,
I've aged into radio.
You don't age into radio. I started radio when I was like 29.
Yeah, but you've always been ugly.
Oh, man.
Hey, welcome to the show, Tim.
All right. Bam, bam. Man. All right, Tim, get off the set.
Man.
Dude, how Gambo, by the way.
You're saying my wife married an ugly guy?
She married you for your sources.
All right, listen, before you bag on my looks anymore, this is the coolest remote we could ever be at.
Dude, isn't it, right?
Oh, my God. This is so – if you are in the West Valley – you got to come hang out with us today. Like, just bring a bat, bring your kid, come hang out with us today. We are at D-Bat in Avondale. D-Bat in Avondale. I'll give you the directions in a second. And this is like the cool. I've literally been in the cages for like an hour, just hitting.
No lie. 100%.
I have been, right?
And you've been hitting, literally, and you'll explain this in a second, You've been hitting bombs at Yankee Stadium.
I have been. Bombs at Yankee Stadium.
No lie.
They've got this hit tracks. It's a field, and you can literally play whatever field you want, and you can hit there. So I'm hitting them out of Yankee Stadium. Listen, these batting cages are unreal. They've got 17 cages, 9 different machines, baseball, softball, 30,000 square feet. You get to pick fastball or curveball. You get to pick the speed of the pitch you want. What do you want, 50, 60, 70? You pick the speed that you want the pitches to come in at. It's been a blast. I mean, I don't even really want to do the show with you. So
baseball and softball, 17 cages. And what, you left out the best part.
What?
You come in today.
30 free swings.
30 free swings.
30 free swings. You get 30 free swings.
Or 225 for 10 bucks.
Yes. Now, and I am giving, because I've been hitting bombs, free lessons by me.
Have I not been hitting bombs?
Line drive rifles,
yeah,
right?
You know, they may feel like bombs off the bat, but they're landing in front of Bernie Williams out there in center field.
Okay, that's a base hit to center. I've had some singles to center.
Yeah, wait,
oh, my God, this place.
For you, it's a bomb. Fine. It's a bomb. It's a bomb to center field.
All right, so 30 free swings and half price if you want more. So you could get, literally, it's normally $20 for 225 swings. They'll do $10, 225 swings. So, and then if you get the 30 free, you could literally get, for $10, you could have 255 swings. Bring your teams in. Bring your kid in. Bring your daughter in. Son, daughter, baseball, softball. We are out here in Avondale, and we would love for you to come on by. It's a great location, and I'm just looking for it's on Van Buren and Fairway. Van Buren and Fairway. It's really close off the freeway.
Right off the freeway.
Right off the freeway.
Right past Dale Earnhardt Drive, of course, because you're in Avondale.
So Van Buren and Fairway, we're here till 6. They've got a full stocked pro shop, too. So we encourage you, come on down to D-Bat in Avondale. Take some swings, and let's see if you can match up to me and Tim Ring. Let's see. 30 swings for free for anybody that comes in today. We hope to see you real soon. Yeah. All right, let's tell you what our top story of the day is.
Going deep. Deep. Today's top story. Burns and Gambo.
Definitely sorry what broke out today, but for the most part, I just want to, I think you guys understand my character and also understand my commitment on and off the field and also to my teammates and also to the Arizona Cardinals organization. That's why this is apparently very, very hard for me, because obviously never been in a situation before and never wanted to have my name attached to anything like this, but I'm looking to move forward and put this behind me. I want to thank my family, my teammates, the coaching staff, the Arizona Cardinal community, and also organization. And I'm looking forward to getting back week 7. I'm going to continue to try to keep that smile on my face and get back to being the best defender in the league.
All right, that's Patrick Peterson yesterday. Sounded like he was at a speedway.
I know, really.
I thought there were cars racing around. Listen, I got mixed emotions on the press conference. First, I think he should fire his PR staff. They're absolutely awful. whoever that lady was that was telling the media, you can't ask any questions. Like, you fire her. Like, honestly, like, she's terrible.
Step back, woman.
Yeah.
Step back.
Yeah, go
step
away.
Step back.
Like, yeah, try that.
Yeah.
Try that in New York, okay? They'll squash you like a bug. You know, you can ask, if you ask any questions about the suspension, this is over. Go away. Just go away.
It's not the way it works.
No, your PR staff is terrible. So that's my first thing. They did a really bad job of preparing him. They did a really bad job of organizing it. I thought that was awful. You agree?
I agree. And on one side, Patrick spoke from the heart.
Yes.
Okay, not a prepared statement. But on the other side of that spectrum is, he was unprepared, and you could tell he was nervous. He didn't quite know what to say.
He wasn't expecting it to happen yesterday, but you've got to prepare.
Yes.
But you've got to be prepared for this, because you never know when it's going to drop. You can't control this. It dropped yesterday. But, okay, with that being said, I thought he was somewhat unprepared. I thought the PR staff was terrible. I would have had a much better statement prepared for him than what he said. With that, let's talk about what he did say. Didn't say he wants to be traded. Didn't try to blame it on anything. Took responsibility for what he did. Said he's going to work hard and can't wait to get back for week 7. That's all the things that I did want to hear from Patrick C. I wanted to hear a lot more, but those are the things that were very important to hear from Patrick Peterson. That he wants to come back and play for the Cardinals in week 7. There was a lot of talk yesterday. Could he ask for a trade? Six weeks in, you're 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. Will he ever play for the Arizona Cardinals again? From their standpoint, from his standpoint. There's a story out there. I was looking at a story today about the Tampa Bay Bucs with Bruce Arians. And should Tampa make a play for Patrick Peterson? Big story in Tampa. Should they make a play for him? Because he's suspended, maybe you can get him for a little bit cheaper. And cap-wise, the money comes down quite a bit. It's not as big as a cap hit because you're taking $4 million off. But, it, you know, he said the right thing as far as wanting to get back and getting back to help this team in week 7.
Well, it isn't much of a choice, and I'm sure a lot of teams in, like, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would have an interest in Patrick Peterson, right? If you can get him on pennies on the dollar. You know, also what he said later, Gambo, when the media did get a few more questions in, you know, he said his relationship with Steve Keim and the Cardinals was fine. And, you know, and that's what we'll kind of delve into a little bit later on here. I have a hard time believing that it's fine. Here's a guy that has not shown up for the voluntary workouts. He's a captain. He's missed the OTAs. You got to think he's not going to be there again next week. He blamed it on having to pick up his daughter from school, right? And I'm not going to get into a whole thing about parenting and being a father, but obviously that's not the reason. Okay, there's something more going on here. You go back to what he put on social media back in April, essentially calling the Cardinals front office snakes in the grass. He removes all the Cardinal color out of his Instagram and his social media feeds, and he says last night it was about fashion. There's something going on here with Patrick Peterson. There are so many different layers to this story that we try to unpack and try to figure out what has happened to this relationship and this person. In the last 7 months, this is not the guy that arrived here in 2011.
He's lost. He's lost, and he hasn't found his way back. He's lost. I mean, this happens sometimes. You know, listen, he's been a great player on the field. 8 years, Pro Bowl player.
And been and a great personal off it,
and
too,
And a great
Gamble.
Person, too. And he's a good husband. I mean, I talked to I talked to several players, that former teammates and guys and current teammates. This guy's a good person. He's a good father. He's a good husband. He's a great husband. You know, so there are a lot of things about – but I just think that maybe he got bad advice. Maybe the last season he was frustrated with the way last season was going, and then he spoke out about the trade, and then he was upset with the Cardinals. Obviously, we reported yesterday first what the reason was. The rift between him and the Cardinals was simply because he was looking for a way to try to save some of that money. And I don't blame him. I would, too. Hey, you're going to be suspended. Well, is there any way to, like, if there's a way to save money, you want to, like, I'm going to lose $4 million. That sucks. Is there a way to lose two or three? I'd like to see if there's a way. He tried to see if there was a way. There wasn't. And so he was mad.
He was mad about that. He didn't say, okay, fine, I understand. He was mad about it.
He was mad.
Right. He went and pouted, and now he's basically essentially holding out. While it's not technically a holdout because it's voluntary, we all know he should be there. Everybody else is there. He's a captain. There's a new head coach. They were 3-13 last year.
He needs to be there.
He's got a new defensive coordinator. He needs to be there, and he's not. And obviously that is a sign of a problem. And what I don't understand is
he can't be fined for that. Do you know that he can be under the CBA, If you miss the mandatory mining camp, it's a $13,400 fine for the first day, $26,800 for the second day, and $40,000 for the third day. If he misses that, he loses another $80,000. He's losing another 80 grand. He'll be there when the money's on the line. But you are the other camp, the three dates, and there's three dates, the OTA off-season workouts, it's not mandatory. You're not going to get fined.
All right, but come on. It's understood, Gamble. When you make $11 million a year, you're an NFL player, you need to be there.
With a rookie head coach and a new defensive coordinator, he should be there. Instead of Daddy Dega, fine, pay somebody to go pick up your kid.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And listen, again, I don't want to make this about parenting because sometimes people could take that the wrong way. But listen, my kids, I have three kids in grade school. My wife is working right now. They're going to get off in an hour. You make arrangements.
Right.
Okay? And safe to say Patrick Peterson makes more money for doing his job than I'm going to make doing this job today. You get child care. Okay, so obviously he stood out there and said that. That was an excuse. That was his moment on the red carpet to kind of get out of there by saying something. We all know that's not the reason why he's not an OTA.
Because
he's got to pick his kid up from school.
It's not like you're going to get home at 6:30 at night, okay, like a lot of other working people. It's not like you're going to get home. May 20th to the 22nd, 29th to the 31st, 3rd to the 6th. That's the OT off-season workouts. Not, you can't be fined for missing any of them. You can't be. But the mandatory minicamp, you can be fined up to $80,000 if you miss those days. He'll be there when the money's on the line because he's already lost $4 million and he doesn't want to lose any of the money. Mixed emotions about it. And if he does want to get traded, I think the most important thing is that he's not causing a fuss right now. Come back, work hard, give them an opportunity to trade you. Don't make it impossible to trade you by demanding a trade right now and giving them no leverage and no ability to get anything back.
Some would say he is causing a fuss right now by not being there. Some would say he's picking a fight. You know, I know we got to go to break. You know how when you were younger and you wanted to break up with your girlfriend, you just pick a fight for no reason? It seems like Patrick Peterson is picking a fight with the organization. He seems like
so. You think he wants out?
I think he's wanted out since last October, if not before.
Okay.
I think when Deion Sanders was leaking that long before last October, that was coming from Patrick Peterson getting traded to the Saints and the Packers. I think Patrick Peterson, again, we'll get more into this. We're just getting going here.
All right. Patrick Peterson's down. Next man up. We'll tell you who next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
When I'm told Tremaine Brock gets the first chance at stepping in and being the starter with no Patrick Peterson, they really like him, played for Vance Joseph last year. I'm also told, by the way, do not expect Patrick Peterson at OTAs. Expect to spend time with his family, stay away, then Mike, be there for mandatory minicamp.
All right.
Okay.
That is Ian Rappaport saying he thinks Tremaine Brock. Listen, Tremaine has the experience. My bet's going to be on Byron Murphy. I'm going to go completely against the grain here. Tremaine Brock's got the experience. He's got the knowledge with Vance Joseph. He's been in the league for 10 years. I just think Byron Murphy's going to be too good. I think he's going to, right from the get-go, he'll be better. So my bet is going to be it's Byron Murphy. Brock's got experience. Can't knock it. 10 years, 7 with the San Francisco 49ers. I understand why a lot of people are going to, you know, say that, oh, there's the guy that's going to replace him. It's Tremaine Brock. And, you know, him and Robert Alford will be the starting, you know, cornerbacks. But I'm telling you, I would not bet against Byron Murphy as being the starter from day one.
You know what, Gambo? It's May 17th.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So when Ian Rappaport reaches out to Cliff Kingsbury or Vance Joseph, of course that's going to be their answer. Byron Murphy hasn't gotten even into training camp yet. Tremaine Brock has played 10 years in the league, played on some good 49er defenses under Jim Harbaugh with that playoff success. But Byron Murphy obviously is going to be the long-term answer at one of the cornerback spots, whether Patrick Peterson is here or not. But, yeah, in mid-May, yeah, I'm sure the Cardinals coming out of that camp is Tremaine Brock is going to get the first look because he's got experience in the league, and he has experience last year playing under Vance Joseph in that Broncos defense a year ago.
You know, one of the things when you suffer a setback like this, okay, whether it's injury or suspension, a lot of teams that, you know, you look around like, oh, my God, who do they have to replace him? This, I mean, I can honestly, as good as Patrick Peterson is, I can look around and like, okay, I see Robert Alford, and I see Tremaine Brock, and I see a freaking stud in Byron Murphy. I'm like, okay, I think that they are set up to handle this loss for 6 weeks. you're never going to get the caliber of player Patrick Peterson is from any of the three. But I don't think that is like the there's a drop-off, right? You're not dropping off a cliff. You've got two guys that have been in the league and been good in this league for a while in Alfred and Brock. And you've got a kid that they had rated in the top five of the draft that played in a system in Washington that just churns out great defensive back after great defensive back, see Buda Baker.
If you're going to lose Patrick Peterson, your defense is going to suffer. But you're right. If there's going to be a position where at least you have guys that have played in the league, Alfred and Brock have both played. Alfred played in the Super Bowl. Brock, if my math is right, I believe also played in a Super Bowl with the 49ers.
Yes.
So you got two guys that have played on championship caliber defenses, and you got a guy in Byron Murphy who was an All-American caliber cornerback at the University of Washington. Remember, Gambo, when the Cardinals came off the NFC Championship game in the 2015 season, they came out in 2016, and they had to go with Brandon Williams quite a bit at cornerback. And if I recall,
I remember him in camp, and I was like, and this is why I hate camp for some reason. Like,
you thought he was good.
No, I thought he was great. He shut everybody down in camp. Do you remember that camp?
Yeah, well, you know who didn't think he was great? Bill Belichick, and we found that out the very first game.
First game.
Yes.
I was like, oh, my God, he can't play. Oh, but get him off.
Yeah.
Please get him off.
Get him off the field. And you know what? We haven't really seen much of him since, have we?
No. But it's just like that. Like, you know, in camp, like, oh, man, he's covering everybody, and he's knocking balls down. And he's I mean, he looked like he was going to be a perennial Pro Bowl cornerback. And then he gets to play in that first game against the Patriots. Like, yeah, okay, he can't play.
Uh-oh.
Get off the field. Special teams, anyone?
By the way, given what we're talking about today, the fact that he's not even in the conversation, let's just call that a miss in the third round.
He had 1 year of experience. They liked his potential, but he wasn't developed, and clearly he's good at special teams.
It's a third-round miss.
I know.
It's one thing to miss on a guy like that in the sixth or seventh. That's a big miss.
No.
That's a big miss. I mean, I know what happens. I know what happens in the NFL draft. It happens to every GM. But looking back on a few misses, that's a miss.
I'm looking at the depth overall. And when you look at it, you're like, okay, I see enough players out there depth-wise. You got Alford. You got Brock. You got Murphy. You also got Dietrich Nichols, Chris Jones, David Amerson.
Amerson's good, too.
Yeah, Brandon Williams.
Potentially.
Yeah,
good.
Amerson's not bad. Not bad at all. So there's depth there. Now, let's remember, they will be looking for guys. Always looking. You have the first pick in the waiver wire, right? The second anybody gets cut, you get the first chance to grab that guy on your roster. I would not be shocked at all if they bring in another corner. Somebody that's better than the last corner they have. Somebody that might be better than the last two corners they have. They will be looking. Some corner will get released, and they will look to add one. I can almost guarantee it. We did a sit-down today with me and Wolf. We're at the Cardinals facility. We did a sit-down in an auditorium. We had Cliff Kingsbury there and Steve Keim there. Kai mentioned that the Browns did like five or six before the season started, those waiver wire pickups, like six of them. The Cardinals are in that position where they can grab the first player that gets let go by a team. I wouldn't be shocked if one or two of those guys are cornerbacks.
You know, it's too bad Byron Murphy, as he begins his career, doesn't have a all-pro caliber veteran cornerback in practice right now.
He let the team down.
To lean on.
He
or
will
maybe ask some, to maybe ask some questions, to get some pointers out there on the practice field. You know, it's too bad he doesn't have that veteran mentor right now on the practice field.
I don't disagree with you.
Too bad, isn't it?
He will be there for training camp.
I don't understand it.
Why he's not at these workouts.
Yes, and you know what? And for a guy, and I'm going to circle back to this because this is a guy from the time I met him in Flagstaff when he came out of LSU that has been the most polite, stand-up young man, well-spoken, smart as a whip, completely manicures his off-the-field personality. He's good in the community. His foundation is a success and not just a storefront. He gets out there. He cares about his future. He cares about his teammates. And these last 7 months, it's like, who are you? It's like you've been married to somebody. Like, your wife wakes up, and it's like, who are you? Like, she's going through a midlife crisis. Like, you hope Patrick Peterson.
Oh, that's midlife crisis?
Yeah.
Oh, I get that every day.
Just wait till she hits midlife. You know, I mean.
I'll be gone by then.
I hope. Yeah, right. You're not going to make it. I hope Patrick Peterson, because this is not the Patrick Peterson I've known that I've covered. It's like, I hope he's going through a mid-career crisis.
Listen. Okay.
Why isn't he there? He screwed up. He should be there now. He should be trying to make it right.
There are veteran players for Murphy to learn from. Robert Alford's a good veteran player. Tremaine Brock's been in this league for 10 years.
Yeah, but he's got the best of the best in two lockers away.
He's got veteran. There are veteran players there to help Murphy. There's no question about it. I don't like that he's not there either. But there is a workout coming up in June, 3 days in June. He'll be at those. He said he'll be at those. Yeah. If he's not at those, he's going to get fined over $80,000. And I think the reason he's going to be at those is because he doesn't want to lose $80,000, you know, because he's already losing $4 million. Don't want to lose any more money.
I'm not concerned about his wallet. I'm concerned about his mindset.
He gave a reason as to why he's not going to be there, and it has to do with, I got to be there to pick up my kids because my wife works.
I'll give him our babysitter's phone number. There's a great app called Busy Bees. It's like an Uber for babysitting.
Yes.
You just click on it, and the babysitter shows up. They're all vetted. I'm going to give it to Patrick so he can go to practice.
Welcome to the real world, where both parents work and somebody handles, you know, after-school programs, nannies.
Send them to the Boys and Girls Club.
I mean, there's plenty of ways. And again, like I said, I don't think the workout's ending at 6:30 at night, where you're going to get home at 7.
Well, we'll talk about it later. I'm not ready to give up on Patrick Peterson. I still think he is one hell of a football player. I think he's one hell of a guy who's going through just a real bad stretch. And I think some of the reasons why he wanted out last year is I think this is a guy who wants so much more out of his football career. And I think he thinks it was slipping by on a losing team with an awful head coach last year. And for him to achieve what he wanted to both on the field and off it, he felt like that was going to not happen here in Arizona, and he wanted to hit the road and get to a place where he could realize all his dreams, not only on the field, but also off. And I'll get more into that later.
Yeah. I wonder if he's gotten bad advice, too. I wonder if people have led him down the wrong road advice-wise.
Stop talking to Deion Sanders
Deion wants everybody to leave a team and go somewhere else because he thinks everybody's in a bad situation. That's Deion.
Right.
He wants to get everybody traded to, like, the Patriots or go somewhere where they can win a championship. All right, the Phoenix Suns are going to announce their new head coach on Tuesday. And the Suns have the sixth pick in the NBA draft. There's another player that may have a promised deal. We'll tell you who that is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
It's Sanderson Ford. They're not too far from where we are right here. 51st Avenue in Glendale. Sanderson Ford, America's most awarded Ford dealership. They've got great prices on the F-150 trucks right now. And they've got our poll question. Sarah, what do you got today?
All right, fellas. Did Patrick Peterson's comments from last night regarding his suspension change the way that you feel about him? We've got three options right now. The first being, no, I'm still rooting for the guy. That's what 63% of our voters said. 21% of our voters said, yes, I loved P2, but not anymore. So that does change my perception or the way I feel about him. And then 16% of our voters said, nope, still not a fan of Patrick Peterson.
So still rooting for him.
63%.
I mean, I'm not rooting against Patrick Peterson. Trade demands and, his suspension. I root against guys that beat on their wives and assault people and drive drunk and, you know, and get into accidents while they're driving and hurt people and stuff like that. Like assaulting somebody, beating up on your wife, kicking a girl in a hallway of a hotel room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a whole nother level of hate.
Are you not disappointed that he tried to mask it, though?
Of course. We're disappointed.
Yeah, but against. I mean, listen, you can be disappointed in people, but doesn't mean you root against them.
Let me tell you something. Von Miller got suspended for the Broncos, and, you know, it was supposedly not PED related. It was more of the recreational drug related. But he got suspended for the Broncos, and you know what? He's got a Super Bowl ring. He will be in Canton. Ask people in Denver if they're disappointed in Von Miller. Ask people in Denver if they want Von Miller off that Bronco defense. No, I mean, you know what, guys make mistakes. And, you know, I think If this was an isolated incident that didn't come off the whole trade thing, people would be like, wow, I never thought Patrick Peterson would do that. I never thought he'd be dumb enough to do that. See, I didn't think Patrick Peterson would need to do that. You're talking about one of the most gifted athletes to come out of high school in the last 20 years. You know, everything this guy does, from baseball to golf to football, I assume basketball, I know I've never seen him play. This guy's a spectacular athlete. Just the fact that he even needed to do this. And then, of course, you know, the...
Well, we don't know the extent of it. I mean, right. We really don't know the extent of it.
But he,
I mean,
but we know he did it.
Yeah. We know he failed the PED test.
And that's, sure. And the question is why, and I know there's some of the diabetes talk that Dan Bickley got out of the Peterson camp, but then there's the masking thing. You know, look, Gambo, at the end of the day, you know, somebody, a doctor, a chemist, a trainer said, Patrick, take this, it's going to work, and then you take this, and they'll never catch you. And Patrick said, all right, I'll do it. Who knows for how long, but eventually the testing agencies caught up to whatever he was taking, and they got him.
I don't know that. I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. It might be. I mean, it might be. I mean, it sounds like if you're trying to lay out a plan, something out like that happened, but we just don't know. I had somebody tell me he's been taking the same supplement for 3 years. Like, same supplement. Like, this say, like this is what the same supplement. And
the same masking agent, maybe. And then you, and I mean, who knows?
I don't know. He failed. He suspended six games.
Listen, all I can say is, and this is not specific to the Peterson case, but I talked to a former NFL player this morning, and I said, just generally speaking, you know, how does a guy get caught? What happens here? Because let's not be naive about it. Patrick Peterson's not the only person in the NFL delving into performance-enhancing drugs. So I said, you know, by and large, how does a guy get caught? And, you know, his answer was really, it was actually kind of fascinating. He said there's an ongoing game between the biochemists and the trainers and the doctors, and it's big business. And he described it as a cat and mouse game between the NFL's testing agencies and all these doctors and biochemists, and they're trying to change the compounds ever so slightly to get by the tests, and the testing agencies are trying to catch up to those tests and actually, obviously, bust the players for taking the performance-enhancing drugs. And he said this goes on and on and on and on, and eventually what the biochemists think will pass doesn't, because they don't realize the testing agency has finally caught up to them.
Let's talk about what's going on and on and on and on at the NBA Combine. More players deciding to leave. It is being reported now that North Carolina point guard Coby White has left the NBA Draft Combine after interviewing with teams and being measured. So that is the second player that we know has left the Combine. So Darius Garland is another guy. You question whether these guys have promised deals. I'm speaking with a bunch of teams right now trying to find out if anybody knows anything. I do know from what I've heard that the Suns will not promise anyone anything. The Suns will not promise anyone anything. I do know that both of these players, Darius Garland and Coby White, are very, very high on their list to take at number six if they are there. If either one of those players are there, I would assume, based on my knowledge and what I am being told, that one of those guys will be the pick. They are looking for a point guard, a combo guard. They really like Coby White. He fits the mold of a good combo guard. He's got good size at 6'4 and almost 6'5". He's got a pretty good wingspan. He could shoot a little bit. He's played in a great program under Roy Williams. He's a guy they like. Darius Garland from Vanderbilt didn't play in a lot of games, but he's another guy. Really skinny, but an extremely talented player. So now both of these guys, Coby White and Darius Garland, have apparently left the NBA Draft Combine, and people automatically speculate. Does that mean that that player has a promised deal?
Well, you know, I would say in the case of Garland, let's follow the money a little bit here. He's repped by Clutch Sports, and that is Rich Paul, and essentially Clutch Sports is LeBron James. All right, let's just call it what it is. The Lakers picked fourth. I have read a couple of guys that when they assessed the draft in 2019, believed that when it comes down to it, it will not be a three-person draft like we've all kind of considered it to be with Williamson, Morant, and Barrett. It will, in fact, be a four-person draft because Garland's going to shoot up that high. Okay, he's that good. And the Lakers, obviously being LeBron's team right now, you wonder if they're not the team, if Garland got a promise deal from somebody, if it's not the Suns, and I believe you that it's not, that it's probably the Los Angeles Lakers, given the fact he is a clutch sports guy, and the Lakers pick fourth, and there are many believe that Garland's not getting past number four in this particular draft.
You know what? Some people think it could be the Bulls. Garland is one of the best guards in this class. The Bulls need a new point guard desperately. But, you know, I know based on my conversations, the Suns haven't promised anybody anything yet. I do think that if one of those two guards are there, they're going to jump for joy. Now, they don't look at those guys right now as projected starters. They would look at those guys as slow builds. You know, we'll work with them and try to develop them. Look, I think they want to offer both the Anthony Melton and Ele Okobo. Okay, I think they want to offer both guys. I think they're both gone.
Okobo already.
I think they're both gone. Both.
I mean, he was a hair below a first-round pick just 1 year ago.
I don't think that they – I think that they – I guarantee you one's gone. I'll bet you two. I'll bet you lunch both are gone. I don't think that, you know, I think that they want to revamp that point guard room. I think they want to bring in a veteran to start, and they want to draft a guy that's two. And then you've got Tyler Johnson, who could be your third point guard and your combo guard, and he could play some two and some one. I would not be surprised if they get off of both Anthony and Okobo.
Coby White shattered the North Carolina freshman scoring record last year, a record that was previously held by a guy named Michael Jordan. Chew on that as we hit the break.
Shattered
that record.
I like him. Everybody else seems to like him.
Gambo, here's what we don't like. And I talk we as in Suns Nation. The idea of just adding another 19-year-old guy to the mix, to the blender of mediocrity.
Because you don't win with them.
No, you don't win. No, and it's just going to produce another. You know,
that's why that whoever they draft is not going to be the starting point guard. They'll go get a starting point guard somewhere else.
Maybe about trading number six for Lonzo Ball.
I mean, but the only thing is Lonzo can't shoot. They don't want a guard with Booker who can't shoot. That's why they want a combo guard. A guard with Booker who can't shoot.
Oh, great! So a point guard who can't pass. That's because that's what a combo means.
No, a combo. Jamal Murray can't pass.
If they can get a Jamal Murray, I'm just saying. Lonzo Ball could also be the distributor and facilitator to Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. That could skyrocket those guys.
Sure, Booker will be double-teamed the whole time because Ball can't shoot, but you could try to get him the ball when he's double-teamed. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, then we're going to argue about Mike Conley a little later in the show, too.
Oh, God, I hope you don't want Mike Conley. All right.
I want to win, Gambo. You want to keep winning 20 games a year? Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's not your money. Mm. It's not your $32 million. Mm. What do you care?
It's $70 million over the next 2 years.
It's 64.
Yeah, 64,
you
65.
You just blew $80 million on Tyson Chandler and Jared Dudley for no wins.
By the way, Conley's almost as old as you are. By the way, almost as old as you.
All right.
Conley.
Fine, let's win 22 games next year and call it a day.
We
improved.
The Golden State Warriors are up 2-0. It was a Curry versus Curry show. And we found out something about Kevin Durant in this series. We'll talk about that next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hi, Tim Ring filling in for Bernsey. We are out here in Avondale at D-Bat. And everybody that comes in gets 30 free swings. Bring your son, bring your daughter. They got baseball, they got softball, they got cages all over the place. 17 cages. We'll get you in a cage, you get 30 free swings. You want to stay for more? They got half-off swings. You could get 225 swings for $10. That's half off right now, plus 30 free ones. 225 swings for just $10 right here. And your first 30 swings for free. If you just want to come in and take 30, we've got the cages for you. It's a 30,000-square-foot facility. Now, if you want to bring your team in here, if you've got a team in the West Valley, like, man, that place sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. I'd love to bring my team in. I'm going to give you a phone number. You could reserve a cage. You could literally reserve a cage tomorrow, Sunday. You guys open Sunday? Yeah, open Sunday. Bring your team in. 833-777-DBAT. 833-777-DBAT. You could reserve a cage. You could reserve two cages. These machines are amazing. You could pick the speed. You could pick fastball. You could pick curveball. You could have the machine height. Throw the yep. height. You want it low. You want it middle. You want it high. Just call 833-777-DBAT. But if you get a chance, come on down today. It's Van Buren and Fairway, DBAT in Avondale, Van Buren and Fairway. I watched the game last night, the Warriors game against Portland. I'm rooting like hell for Portland, right? I just am. I'd love to see. I like Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum, who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn yesterday at the end of that game.
End of the game, yeah.
C.J. McCollum was terrible. 4 minutes and 20 seconds left. Leonard hits a three for Portland. They're up 108-100. And I sat there, and I'm like, they got an 8-point lead, 4.5. I still don't think they can win. This is the Warriors. You never think that they're going to lose a game. It just doesn't matter what the lead is. 108-100. And then they go on a run, and the next thing you know, it's 110-108. They literally just went on a 10-0 run. They went on a 10-0 run. And they're up now. Then they're up 10-0. I'm like, oh, my God. Then Seth Curry, not Steph, but Seth, hit another three-pointer. That kid was fantastic last night. Portland's up by a point with 1 minute to go. But you still know. It's like you have a feeling with that team that they're not going to lose.
When they were down 3-2 to the Rockets last year, Gambo, in Game 6, I believe they were down 16, 17 points facing elimination. And you didn't think they were done. They didn't think they weren't worried. They have the ability to turn it on. When you have arguably, I mean, Durant's out now, obviously, but even without Durant, you arguably have two of the greatest 3-point shooters of all time. An 8-point lead with these guys, it's not your father's 8-point lead, right? In two possessions, in the blink of an eye, it's a 2-point game with the way those two guys can shoot.
You know, and
generally, it is.
I mean, it wasn't Klay and Curry. This is the thing about the Warriors last night that was infuriating. It's not like, okay, Klay Thompson, let me just go through this. Fourth quarter, Klay Thompson scored on a drive, that's two. Curry had a behind-the-back basket, that's 2 points. Curry had a drive, that's 2 points. Curry hit three free throws.
Right, and then Green had the alley-oop to, I believe, Looney.
From Curry. But forget about Draymond. So out of all the points in the fourth quarter, you got 9 combined out of Curry and Klay. Klay and Curry. 9 points. You know who killed them? Looney. The guy stands behind next to the basket, and he waits for you to double somebody else, and then you throw the ball to him, and he puts in a basket.
Right, and that's
like, nobody guards him.
Right, but that's because of Curry and Thompson being the greatest shooters of all time.
I'm just going to stand next to the basket.
It all falls off of that.
And that's what I'm going to stand here. Nobody's going to guard me, and then after you go double that guy, I'm just going to be wide open. I'm going to get an easy basket. How many easy baskets did Looney have? Looney from Draymond. Looney from Curry. Looney from Andre. He just sits there and waits. I mean, nobody is a bigger benefactor than him. He had more baskets in the fourth quarter than any of those other guys. Scored on a pass from Andre Iguodala, hit a free throw, scored another basket with 2:20 left, scored another basket to make it 112-111. Like, it wasn't like it was Klay and Curry that went off that beat Portland last night.
Everything flows off of them. You know what's interesting about the Warriors now with Durant out?
They pass the ball more.
They pass the ball more, but you know who we're seeing the reemergence of? You know who's coming back to the party?
Andre Iguodala?
Draymond Green. And let me tell you something. When Durant signed on, there was a lot of questions. Like, will there be enough balls? And what is this going to do to Thompson and
sure.
Curry? Klay and Steph still got theirs in the Durant era. Draymond Green's usage is the one who went down. Draymond Green is the one who kind of got pushed to the side a little bit. It actually created some friction between Green and Durant over the years. Now, granted, they were still fantastic. They were probably better. Don't get me wrong. But Draymond Green was a bit marginalized and minimalized in the Durant era. With Durant out these last several games, we're seeing the reemergence of the Draymond Green we saw pre-Durant in the Bay era.
Seeing the reemergence of just the team basketball, the team passing. Now, I'm not saying, look, I'd be stupid, and anybody would be stupid to say, oh, they're a better team without Kevin Durant.
No, they're not. Of course not. But they're not. Different.
Kevin Durant's, they're different. But they're still really good. They're really good with Kevin Durant, and they're really good without Kevin Durant. There's just so much talent there. But you can see the unselfishness from Curry and Klay that makes them special, because they don't have to score all the points. They'll get it to Bell. They'll get it to Cook. They'll get it to Looney. They'll get it to Draymond. Iguodala. Like, it's not, they are very unselfish. I think Durant needs his points, and I think everybody gets that. And he's going to get them no matter what. Curry can get his whenever he wants. Klay can get his. But, man, and then you had that great play with Iguodala when he stole the ball from Lillard. They ended the game on a 14-3 run. I mean, it was 108-100. And you're thinking, man, does Portland have a shot? And I'm thinking to myself, no, they don't. They don't have a shot. They can't win.
And now with not with McCullough firing up bricks. But, I mean, you got Draymond taking it to the hole. You got him distributing, throwing alley-oops. Curry, did you see this stat? Steph Curry has not missed a free throw in the fourth quarter or overtime of a playoff game since 2015.
Yeah, they said that last night when he went to the free throw line with three free throws after he got fouled on a three-pointer.
They're just a machine.
And you know what? Unfortunately, this is the NBA. Man, you just got to watch the – because Portland was up by 17. It doesn't matter. Just watch the fourth quarter of a game.
Yeah.
Like Portland's up by 17. You can't even get excited. You can't even get excited.
By the way,
because you know that Golden State's going to come back.
Before we go to break, do you get the feeling Durant might be out for the season and they're not? And Kerr is slow playing
that?
Bob Myers is slow playing that?
Sure, why not? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm starting to get that feeling.
Yeah. Don't give up on Patrick Peterson. That was what Dan Bickley said. Do we agree? We'll talk about that next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.